Hello, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Ammonites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they're in Hazon Tamar, that is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, "O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? Art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they lived in it, and they have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, 'Should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house,' and cry to you in distress, and you will hear and deliver us. And now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Behold, how they are now rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the sons of Asaph. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and of the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves more than they could carry. And there were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. Then on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, they have named the place the Valley of Berakah until today. And every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned with Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with harps, lyres, and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the dread of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest on all sides. Now Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the way of his father Asa and did not depart from it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed. The people had not yet directed their hearts to the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first to last, behold, they are written in the annals of Jehu, the son of Hanani, which is recorded in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel. He acted wickedly in doing so. So he allied himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships to Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavahu of Mereshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works. So the ships were broken and could not go to Tarshish. Amen. Okay, you have to go back a little bit. You know, one of the failures of the Israelites, if you remember, they were supposed to take possession, subdue the enemies, take possession. They left some of this land, unfortunately, not in possession. And so they went about and they didn't invade some areas of land. And now we see the consequences of that. So when Jehoshaphat asked the question, Lord, will you not judge them? He's actually talking about that, you know, they basically kind of gave them a safe and free passage. And now they're taking what Jehoshaphat and the Israelites consider the blessing of God. And now they're attacking them. And so, you know, which goes to say in a really simple way, when you don't obey fully what God has in store for you, it eventually comes back to bite you. Whatever it may be. You leave things unsaid or unsettled, eventually the enemy will take that and bring it back. You know, passivity, and this is particularly for leaders especially, passivity is one of those things that we think, oh, okay, you know, I'll just let it go or something like this. And we realize the enemy waits for the opportune time to take our passivity, take the spoils of our passivity, and then bring havoc into our lives. Remember, the Bible tells us, Peter, that he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. And so he's waiting for those moments that we're passive and we don't take a hold of what God has in store for us. And eventually that comes back to bite us, and it comes back to bite Judah. So these guys are sailing in and the route. They're going basically around the Dead Sea by En Gedi, which was a very common route if you wanted to sneak up on your enemies, or in particular case, on Judah. And so they came to this place, but notice the response of Jehoshaphat. And this is why he was a good king. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, the first part, I think all of us can have some relationship and agree with. Sometimes there are situations in life that's a little scary. Sometimes there are things that happen in our lives that will cause fear. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. We're human, sinful beings. You know, we're prone to fears and we're prone to these things. But it's really the response to the fear that really sets apart Christians. And in this case, he's afraid, but he turns his attention to the Lord. A lot of people, when they're afraid, they turn their attention to the bottle. They turn their attention to relationships. You know, they turn to attention to their own devices in whatever way. But Jehoshaphat, he's afraid. He should be afraid. I mean, these guys are about to kill him, about to take over. But instead, he turns his attention to the Lord, and he rightfully leads them on a fast. You know, a fast, because, you know, I mean, we're heading the corner, right? Our fast is coming up really soon. But a fast is this simple way of saying, Lord, I cannot do this on my own strength, and so I need you. And so, Lord, I'm going to deny myself to see your salvation come. And so he comes. So Jehoshaphat turns, he gathers the assembly, he goes before the house of the Lord, and he basically says this speech, this prayer to the Lord. And I love, you guys know this, I love verse 12. It says, O our God, will you not judge them? Judge them because, you know, in some ways they had been recipients of the kindness of God, the kindness of the people, I mean really their passivity, but now they're using that freedom to wreak havoc to those in Judah. And he says, we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I mean, you've heard me teach on this passage before. This could very well be one of the most honest prayers in the Bible. Maybe the most honest prayer in the Old Testament. You know the most honest prayer in the New Testament? Remember the Father goes, I believe, but help my unbelief. I think that's one of the most honest prayers in the New Testament. I think this is probably in the Old Testament. He says, Lord, we are powerless. In other words, God, we can't do anything. And quite simply, you know, we don't know what to do. We're at total loss. But one thing we know what to do is we're going to fix our eyes on you. And I think that when we're in these situations, this is probably the best way to go about it. Lord, this situation that's in front of me right now, I'm at a complete loss. I recognize my powerlessness, and I also recognize that I don't know what to do. And Jehoshaphat does, the only thing you can do in this situation is to put your eyes on him. And so he's standing before, and imagine this scene. This is how serious it is. In 13 it says, and Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. And so, I mean, we're talking about generations here that are really counting on the Lord to move on their behalf. And so, in the midst of the assembly, so remember, these guys are gathered together. In the midst of this, don't you love this? The Spirit of the Lord falls on Jahaziel. And this is the unction. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon him, and he starts prophesying. And he says, listen, Judah, don't worry. God's going to take care of this. In other words, I just want you to sit in there, and I want you to see the salvation of the Lord. And then in verse 20, or I should say the latter part of this, before we get to verse 20, then what is the response? Now, see, now they're in a moment of faith, okay? Because they're in a desperate situation. The word of the Lord comes and says, in other words, the promise of God says, I got you. I'm going to take care of this. And so how do the people respond? They respond in faith. They start worshiping him. They start offering thanksgiving to the Lord. There's something about praise and worship that's so invaluable as the response of God. Because sometimes when a promise of God comes, and because it's a faith statement from God, a lot of times we receive it with either ridicule or we receive it with doubt. But these guys did not choose to do that. They received it with joy, and their response was praise and worship. The response was thanksgiving. So that's what they do. They go before the Lord. They fell down before the Lord. They worshiped him. They got the Levites. You know, all these guys came together and stood to praise the Lord of Israel with a very loud voice. They were worshiping God with all their heart. And then they rise early in the morning, and here's Jehoshaphat. He's a good king. This is a great verse, by the way. The end of verse 20. He says, listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. How important it is for us to trust the Lord our God, to really put our faith in him, not in our circumstances, not in our ability or our power, but simply to put our faith in him. And he says, if you do that, then you'll be established. And then they started giving thanks to the Lord. They praised him at this place. In other words, they chose to trust him. They're worshiping him. And the next thing you know, in verse 22, it says, the Lord, and then when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And so there's a couple of different theories. One is that God sent angels, warring angels disguised as humans, to basically wreak havoc. That's one theory. Probably the most likely theory is, again, angels were dispatched and brought such confusion and division that they actually started fighting each other and killing each other. It's, you know, the one is pretty spectacular. I mean, they're both pretty spectacular, but the one is like, wow, angels were sent down in human form and ambushed these guys, which is pretty awesome. Or the other side would be that that he incited them to actually fight with each other. And they helped to, in verse 23 says, and they helped to destroy one another. And so Judah comes out, beholds, they see these things. There is such a huge spoil, the goods of their war, that it took them 3 days to retrieve. I mean, that's quite a bounty that they have. And then they return to Jerusalem, and what do? They praise him again. Notice praise and thanksgiving is constantly put out. In fact, they assembled there, and they named it the Valley of Berakah. This is basically the Valley of Blessing. This is actually the exact word we get for benediction, you know, from the word Barak. And we see benediction meaning speak well of. And so blessing, worship, is basically speaking well of God. When I give benediction after every service, I'm speaking well, or I'm basically inciting us not only to speak well of God, but God pronounce a blessing over the people. It's actually the privilege of the minister to be able to do that. And so they call this place the Valley of Blessing. This is God. God just moved, gave us so much that we speak well of him in this place. And every man in Jerusalem returned with joy. They rejoice over their enemies. They came singing with instruments. I mean, incredible things happen. And then the result is dread. The dread of God fell over all the other, over the enemies of God. And they left Israel alone. Everything is great. And then Jehoshaphat starts a treaty with Ahaziah, which was not a good thing to do. And so he gets rebuked, and all the ships that they built, can you imagine all the years of labor, all the ships that they built were broken and could not go to Tarshish. So let's close our eyes. And just think about if there's any challenge or anything that's before us right now. I mean, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let's pray that our response would be praise. I know that's not the usual response when we come into a challenging situation. But let's pray that our first instinct would be to speak well of God. Because honestly, you know, most people, Christians, the first instinct is to question God. God, I thought you loved me. God, why are you doing this thing to me? But the first instinct should be to praise and speak well of him. And thanksgiving. And out of that place, man, God moves, sends angels. Lord, we are powerless before this great multitude. Nor do we know what to do. Lord, we are powerless before this problem. Lord, I feel powerless at work. Lord, I feel powerless to change my wife's heart. I feel powerless to raise kids in a godly manner. And Lord, and quite frankly, I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. And I will stand in this place in the Valley of Blessing, and I'll bless your name. Interesting, notice it's the valley. It'd be a lot cooler if it was the mountain of blessing, wouldn't it? High place, majestic, but it's the low place. That's when we choose to worship God. It's the Valley of Blessing. And in that valley, that's when we choose to worship him.
For the joy of the Lord is ours. great, how awesome is He. Together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down. Worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. And it's rising up all around. It's the together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord. Filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Is filled with His glory.
Well, let's pray this morning. Let's pray that whatever problems come our way, whatever circumstances or situations, that as a child of God, that we would respond with worship, that we respond with praise and thanksgiving instead of accusation and complaints. Let's pray for that heart to really go after God in that way. Let's pray this morning. Can we pray over our community that are battling through cancer and going through therapies? And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's just ask the Lord's strength upon their bodies. Let's pray for our community. They're battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. If I could just add another request, I actually just got an email from RTE this morning, and Louise is having some of the worst back pain that she's ever had. She's had a sciatic, so she's having surgery on Friday, and so he asked if we could pray for them. So lift up Louise as well. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for the country. Pray for Holy Spirit to breathe life. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu, Chloe, especially as she's pregnant. Let's pray for a smooth pregnancy. Let's pray for SP Shanghai. They started a meeting together. Pray that Pastor Ricky will be able to really disciple his core team well. Can you lift the family up? They would assimilate very easily into Shanghai. Pray for the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. They're actually here in Hong Kong now. They're celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary. So I just lift them up. And then I just lift up the churches all throughout, especially the ones that are being persecuted. Let's pray for God's hand upon them. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask for God's hand upon our leaders and pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. If we can remember Sue, who's going to give birth sometime this month, actually really any day now, let's pray for God's hand upon them, her and the family. Let's lift up. Fellow mentioned Marcus's wife Audrey gave birth yesterday, and so also pray for a good recovery as well. Let's pray over our fellowship ministries. Let's pray lift up our young adults, our Yaman and Yahweh Eats, our men's ministry, the prayer, Monday prayer, and pray that the other ministries launch again soon. And let's just lift up the women's ministry and ask God's hand upon them. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Pray for our building and resources. Pray in the benefactor. Continue to ask God to bless the vision fund that will continue to grow, that He would provide for us. Let's lift up churches tonight. Blue Pool, Causeway Bay, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, TST, and Ventress. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide. Bless our leaders, our hosts, and every person. Would really come together and not just discuss the sermon, but really draw close to God and to one another. Let's pray. Lord, God, we thank you for the scriptures today, God. We thank you for Jehoshaphat's example, Lord, the example of the people of Judah, Lord, that, God, when faced with difficulties, God, and faced with an impossible situation, Lord, they didn't try to work it out on their own, God. Lord, they didn't run, God, for allies, Lord. They ran to you. They chose to worship you. They chose to believe in you, God. They chose to trust in you, God, and you moved, God, on their behalf, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would do the same, Lord, that we would not bring accusation, God, we would not bring our curses to you, Lord, but we would offer you praise, God, in the midst of our difficulties, Lord. God, and then in that place, in the valley, Lord, God, we would bless you. And so we thank you. Thank you for the example. Thank you for the encouragement today, God. Lord, we want to run hard after you, Lord, no matter, God, what faces us, God. We thank you. We bless you. Watch over us today, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.